We're back again here. Sorry for that short delay and recess. And Eric Hufschmid, he wrote one of the very first books on 9/11 called Painful Questions, is asking questions of our illustrious and a very, very, I call a hero guest, Captain Field McConnell. So let's get back where that question was. Ask that question again.
Well, what I had noticed when they brought up the issue of Al Gore and David Blood is those two are supposedly the ones who created this strange group called the Generation Investment Management, which is being described as an investment firm and hedge fund.
Right.
And it's got, they claim to have people around the world and offices around the world. And, you know, it looks very mysterious with Al Gore as chairman, because I don't think he's capable of running much of anything. I think he's just there like Bush, as just he's, or like Tom Cruise in Scientology. You know, they use him as just to bring people to it, you know, to give it credibility. And then they have one of the actors from Lord of the Rings as the chief investment officer. So to me, it looks like something's phony about this whole thing. And I was just wondering, when I look at 9/11, I see the same type of strange situation with mysterious, what they call think tanks, like the Claremont Institute. That's what David Ray Griffin's part of, and the 9/11 groups promote him as the 9/11 hero. And what is the Claremont Institute? What's their connection to these other institutes? And then we have the Ludwig von Mises Institute, which Morgan Reynolds is part of. He was also being promoted as a 9/11 truth seeker, and Justin Raymondotto was part of that group. He's now part of he has antiwar.com. And when I look at 9/11, I just see a lot of these mysterious groups, Tavistock, the Stanford Research Institute, a whole bunch of them. And I was just wondering, what is the connection? What does he see as the connection between them all?
Well, I see several connections. Number one, I think a lot of these people are egotists that like to get together at meetings and slap each other in the back and think about how wonderful they are, and yet they get nothing done and take no personal risk. And I'm not trying to build myself up, but rather I'm going to build up David Hawkins. He's taken a whole lot of risk. He has been a member of some groups, but he is a standalone entity now at Hawk's Cafe, where he has purposed to go out and find contributing forensic economists wherever they are around the globe to work with him at Hawk's Cafe to try to get to the crux of the matter in terms of intelligence. And even though David Hawkins himself is a very, very intelligent person, he is not working in a vacuum by himself, nor would he ever claim to be, even if he was. He has a God-given, I would say, ability to connect dots and to attract people. And when I say attract people, like the lady over-the-road trucker who delivered some product to some Muslim terrorist at JFK Airport and then had the presence of mind to keep the bill of lading. Here it is 5.5 years later. She made a delivery to an airport in June of 01. She's got the evidence. Well, that evidence has now found its way to Hawk's Cafe. It did not find its way to the FBI or the Canadian Mounted Police. Going back to these mysterious groups that all claim to be doing 9/11 research and think tanks, sometimes they can get so big that they're unwieldy and they spend time infighting. And Hawk's Cafe doesn't have the problem of being too big, because we don't allow ourselves a vertical chain of command. Everybody's equal, but we all have to play by certain protocols. And David Hawkins, his name's attached to the Hawk's Cafe, he establishes the protocols, and anybody who wants to participate has to prescribe or go along with his basic, and they're not difficult, they're not numerous, but basically his motto, if I could put one motto into David Hawkins' voice, I would say that his motto is to accuse no innocent and shelter no guilty. And therefore, he often, and I am too, we're often asked questions that smack of political leanings, left, right, or otherwise, and we tend not to think like that. We just look at the evidence, and the evidence speaks for itself, and the evidence will lead to perpetrators, and we don't care who the perpetrators are, because we're not going to try to get somebody in trouble if they're innocent. We're certainly not going to shy away from implicating someone if they appear to be guilty. And let me just give you a personal example of that. My own sister, I only have one sibling, my own sister and my only sibling was number three at the Department of Justice during the Clinton White House years. She appears on our list of 100 defendants in our lawsuit. I think that you both are well up to date on the McConnell versus Boeing lawsuit, but there's another lawsuit that you can follow online where we've named 100 defendants. Some of them are household names. One of them is my sister. We're also trying to get the most expert and articulate 100 plaintiffs to identify themselves, and we're going through a daily review of people. There's people stepping forward wanting to be part of this case, and we are considering a pro se filing where we basically go for $4.5 trillion, which is threefold because of the RICO statutes, threefold the identifiable monetary losses that we know about so far on 9/11. That back to your original question, Eric, you said, what do I, Field McConnell, find these organizations have in common? I'd say that what they have in common, they probably have a very noble purpose, but they're just too unwieldy. They don't move fast enough. And I'm not aware of any of these groups that have filed a lawsuit, but Agent Ladybug or Eric, either one of you, please correct me if some of these institutes to file lawsuits against the perpetrators.
No. That's one of the things that's strange is, like, Morgan Reynolds is trying to tell us that the airplanes were holograms that hit the towers. David Ray Griffin has a limited explanation also, even though he goes farther and is more honest. That is what's suspicious. And then you look at who funds them. You'll get the Rockefellers. You'll get a whole bunch of these super rich families are funding a lot of this. The Rothschilds seem to be involved in some. It's hard to always identify where the money's coming from, but you see, they're not being honest. They get a lot of promotion, and they have mysterious sources of funding from some super rich families and organizations and companies.
Right.
And so what they appear to be is they're all part of a propaganda campaign.
Yeah, I would not dispute that. I've even heard, and I'm not going to mention the names because I hope what I heard is wrong, but there's some people that currently today I respect them for their radio shows where they consider topics such as this. And I've even, some of the best known names, you know, all of us are going to have our critics, but I admire some of these people that have these big, big radio shows where they tackle these tough issues, but it's been suggested to me that it's academically possible that even those household names of big interviewers could be bought and paid for. And I'm not suggesting that. In fact, I'm hoping and praying that's not right, because I'm cooperating with any interviewer who sounds legit. And, you know, when you're talking about exposing your own sister and filing lawsuits yourself, you're clearly laying your neck on the chopping block. And certainly the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers could find somebody that's got an axe that's willing to strike the chopping block for them. That brings us back to your murder problem there in Ontario. I understand there's a gentleman that Agent Ladybug knows personally, apparently, that goes around dispatching people. But I don't think they can dispatch all of us. And I also think that this technology, the Internet, which Al Gore at one point thought he had actually invented it, which it turns out he did not. But this Internet now is a tool that's making their life a little bit less comfortable, because these people who David and I are giving credit for the perpetration of 9/11, these people know who David and I are, but they know that we're dealing in the cyber world with cyber cooperators, and they have no idea how many of us there are.
Right. So you see, at this point, it wouldn't even matter if the entire North American continent were to sink into the ocean and all of us die, because it's already in other countries. You see, it doesn't matter if you stop talking, I stop talking. All of us in North America can stop talking, and you'll still find it all over Europe. It's spreading into India and China right now.
Well, I love India, and as I mentioned earlier, it's part of the Commonwealth. But just today, you know, I'm just a complete nobody out in the middle of nowhere, and I've made about 6 or 7 exchanges of information with a woman in Geneva, Switzerland.
Well, that's right. See, they can't stop it. And it's not just the Internet. It's also because you can burn a DVD now for just a few pennies.
Right.
And CD-ROMs are even cheaper. So people are passing information around. They're bypassing the media. You see,
right.
they still have the television, the radio stations, the newspapers, but we can now go around their backs with DVDs, the internet, and CD-ROMs. And that is what they have no control over. And there is no way to control it. And it's going to continue. And so I think what's happening now is they're in a panic mode.
Well, I think they are too. And that's, once again, I'm not trying to stand up and pretend like I'm the only guy who's targeted, but for the people who care about me and know me personally, and they continually ask me, are you sure you're okay? Are you sure you're safe? I said, you know, I think I'm a lot less worried about my physical and my security than some of these household names are. Because when, for instance, in New York City, when the New York City Fire Department finds out exactly who brought down the buildings, how they did it, and by the way, isn't there a company up in Canada called Nortel?
That's right. That's a huge corporation that's under the gun right now.
Yeah, well, Nortel has a connection to this, too. In fact, a lot of companies in Canada do. But the New York City Fire Department and the New York City Police Department, these aren't a bunch of guys that sit around crocheting pillows for their next-door neighbors. They have very dangerous work in some of the most dangerous parts of America, and when they find out who their enemies are, I personally would cringe to think I might be one of their enemies, which I'm not. I'm their ally. But there's some politicians out there who actually put the firemen and the policemen and any other first responders, whether it's American Red Cross or the Girl Scouts, they put them in extreme physical danger on 9/11, and they did it with at least 3 months of planning. And I would suggest the planning probably dates back to at least as early as 1993.
Well, it's actually, they're actually suffering right now. There's supposedly maybe 20,000 of them, as many as that many, suffering lung damage and other health problems from breathing the air down there.
And do you know what specifically was in the air that's causing that damage?
Yeah, well, Christopher Boland interviewed one of the professor at Davis who took some air samples and analyzed them. And what the professor said, and he took samples days afterwards. It was so a lot of the stuff had already settled. But he said what was floating around in the air were these microscopic particles of metal.
Yep.
A lot of them were beads. And he says the only way you can get such tiny little round particles is from extreme temperatures.
Yeah, like 5,800 degrees in the thermite reaction.
Well, yeah, and explosives. And so what it's a sign of is these people now are permanently damaged. And you'll see that just recently, a day or two ago, or maybe it was yesterday, Tom Cruise is now coming forward to help by offering the Scientology detox program to these people.
Oh, well, I guess he's more into marketing than filmmaking now.
But see, that's what Al Gore seems to be like, dude. They use him, they use a lot of these people as a way to attract people.
Yeah.
And see, this is distracting people. What Tom Cruise is inadvertently being used for is to distract people into thinking, oh, it's just, they just breathe the little dust. All they have to do is take some vitamins and follow this program for health foods and they'll be better.
No, actually, they're dying.
Yeah, but see, but when you listen to someone like Tom Cruise or the others, you think all they need to do is just change their diet a little. You see, and they're trivializing it, making it more trivial, you see?
Yes. Now, you sound like you're speaking with authority on that number, 20,000 people that have become sick with a respiratory problem.
Well, that's just what the newspapers are reporting. They're just picking that number.
Yeah, because I would encourage anybody that has knowledge of anybody in New York City who's got respiratory problems and they think it might be induced by the smoke that they inhaled around 9/11, I would encourage them also to, and this is not Tom Cruise marketing, this is an interest in sharing the truth with some people that have been injured and made sick and perhaps terminally sick due to the corrupt events of 9/11. But we have a group now that's communicating a lot with Hawks Cafe, and that is they're called the HC, or Hepatitis C Veterans, because Hawks Cafe has pretty much got a pretty tight evidence line on tainted blood. And once again, it shares the border between the U.S. and Canada. The blood started in the U.S. prison systems that went up to Canada and turned into a product that I think is called Factor 8 and then came back into the U.S. and was distributed. And it was some of these, not only the blood was tainted, but some serums or vaccines were made that knowingly carried things like HIV and whatever it is that causes hepatitis C.
Well, yeah, the hepatitis C virus.
Yeah, and I don't think hepatitis C virus was identified and named hepatitis C for about 20 years after it was a problem, and I could be incorrect in that. But this is just an example of the power of some people that share and care. And David Hawkins and I'm going to disclose for the first time publicly what our total budget for Hawk's Cafe is. And it's going to be real easy for people, even with a seventh grade education, to remember this budget. Zero.
That's about it. That's how it is for most of us.
Well, yeah, but the point is, if basically two people backed up by 700 can solve a lot of these problems, I don't mean solve them like make the problem go away, but academically solve it so you can go to the event and back up to how the event was planned or staged. If private individuals, in fact, David, as you know, lives in Canada, but he's a British subject. I mean, he was born in England, educated in England, has been on six continents, and now resides in Western Canada. But he's just one private citizen, just like I am, and I presume that both of you two on the other end of this interview are just private citizens.
Right.
And, you know, neither one of us are from powerful families, neither one of us...
Well, right, you're bringing up the issue that one person can do a lot.
Yes,
and this is what you realize, that the reason these crimes just go on and on is the majority of people really and truly don't care. They are allowing it.
Right, I agree with what you just said.
Because this is what we've been discovering for the past 5 years. You try to show people this information about 9/11, and they just back away.
Well,
and,
you know, people want to be entertained, and they have a short attention span.
Yeah, they don't want to. It's just, but you'll see the same behavior with animals. When a wolf goes to after a sheep, the others just run away, and then after a while, they settle down and go back to eating. They don't care. They could easily chase the wolf away.
Yep.
But they don't care. They're just thinking of themselves, and they'll run to the crowd. And that's what you'll see going on right now, is they run to the crowd and just abandon the rest of us. And if they would all come forward, it would be over with.
Right. And using your analogy, you know, if the wolf is successful today getting one of your partner sheep, he'll be back tomorrow for you.
Yeah, and the sheep never wise up. And the same is true with America. They let this go on and on and on.
Have you heard the term sheeple?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I think that, and I'm a U.S. citizen and I'm a patriotic citizen, but I think that pretty accurately describes the mindset and the energy level of the American population. But, you know, what David Hawkins and myself and our... colleagues are doing is this moment. In fact, I'll give you a website you can go look. But we have a DVD product that probably is going to be about 80 minutes, and it's in final editing right now. And the artist that's doing the final editing is working way too much trying to get this out as soon as possible. And his reason to get it out as soon as possible is not to make money as soon as possible, as many people would probably think. No, the reason is because we still have 108 airliners out there with these QRS-11 gyro chips, and we feel that we need to get this verifiable and condemning information into as many people, into their minds as quickly as we can, as cheaply as we can, to try and forestall a second and fatal 9/11 style attack on the U.S. by the U.S.
Yeah, well, it's possible. I know, but most people, you're right, they think we're making money selling this, but the money is in the entertainment field and, you know, things like religion. People will spend money on things that make them feel good. This does not make people feel good.
Yeah, and that's, well, you know, it would make me feel good if I knew that Boeing Corporation, if there was a vice president or higher of Boeing Corporation that was going to come meet me in Fargo with a list of Boeing airliners that have been illegally modified and then subsequently restored to their previous condition. In other words, if these rogue parts were removed, I would feel that Boeing Aircraft and Spyman CA and Hawk's Cafe had been successful in protecting the population at large for no gain. I mean, no money. There's no money changing hands. But if we don't care about each other, I guess we simply don't care.
Well, that's what you'll see all throughout history, though. It's that if the world changes, it's only because of a small group, a tiny little minority, while the rest are busy grazing, and basically what it amounts to.
Well, I think it's time for the world to change.
Well, it's going to, because right now there's a lot of this stuff is coming out, and they can't stop it. And as it gets bigger, it's going to reach enough people who do care.
And yeah, and so you're joining me in being optimistic that the good side will win?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say good or bad side, because, I mean, no matter which group you look at, you're going to find all humans are pretty much the same. I mean,
right.
It's when you start saying good or bad, you start getting into a problem, because you could say the Americans are bad because they're fighting and having slaves, and then you could go back and say, well, the Native Americans were bad, they did the same thing. I mean, it goes on forever like that.
Yep.
But you could say, I would say the world is definitely in a mess. I mean, the people in control right now, if you look at what's been going on in the past century, this is hardly an improvement.
Yeah.
What's been going on? It's crime and corruption and chaos and loneliness and misery. If you look at what we have today, how is this an improvement over 100 years ago? I mean, technology has improved, but what about the people's lives?
Yeah.
Look at the lives of the people. Spending their time with television sets and dogs, spending their time struggling for a living when we actually, it should be easier than ever. Everything should be easier. And everything should be more beautiful. The parks, the cities, the homes. Everything should have improved, and it's not.
Right. And I think that I'm going to join you academically now or philosophically and suggest that the people that I would characterize as bad, even though you don't like the good-bad analogy, these are the people that look at you and I as units of labor.
Well, right, but I know it's just that when you start getting into good or bad, you can end up in these endless debates.
Oh, that's right. I know. I understand.
That's why I try to avoid that. I try to avoid that and just stick with, you know, they're committing crimes, they're starting wars. You know, to say good or bad is hard because you can see this with every group of people.
Oh, absolutely. That's very subjective.
But the biggest problem is, I think the world will change. I don't know if America will survive, but it's going to change definitely.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you there wholeheartedly. I don't know if America will survive either, but I do think the answer to that is going to be known within 12 to 18 months, and that's why there's the urgency. I mean, our little DVD project, which is going to be on pay-per-view, and it's advertised right now at CaptainSherlock.com. But there's a 1-minute teaser on there. And this is not about money. If it was about money, the price of the downloadable would be a lot higher. But it's about education. We believe that we at Hawks Cafe believe we have some information that the world will benefit from learning. And so we want to make it available, whether that's over a radio interview in Canada, whether it's over a tour. We're contemplating... And this contemplating is going to bear some fruit here, I would think, in the next 90 days. But we think that a tour of the United States, a 48-stop tour, one venue in each state, where we have a product now that could be like a PowerPoint presentation that really strongly connects the dots on 9/11 using, for instance, United States Air Force briefing guides. This is stuff that we don't come up with. We just find it. And, you know, it's a blueprint, and Agent Ladybug is aware of Operation Northwoods, and that was 40 years ago. And 40 years ago, the document was typed on a typewriter, not even a computer, but a typewriter. Well, this document is multimedia. It's in living color, and it's very simple to follow. You don't have to be a military veteran, and you don't have to be a pilot to understand this scenario and the briefing guide. But it really does tell the tale of 9/11, and we're contemplating going on a tour, and we could dress up as a sheep or a jackass. It's not about David Hawkins and myself. It's about the information, getting the information to as many people, stir up as much interest as possible so that people around the world will come to understand what happened on 9/11, who benefited from it, and who would benefit if it happens again, and if it's going to happen again, how do we little people or sheeple, how do we effort to stop it?
Yeah, we've had some tours of 9/11 before, and it's very hard to get people to even show up for them. And, of course, you also get sabotage a lot.
Oh, I would expect that, yes.
You get a lot. Jimmy Walter did that. We even went on a tour with him in Europe, but the one problem that he was running into is What they really hate is anybody who mentions that there's any Israeli involvement, and then you get unbelievable attacks, and he got sabotaged so bad, he's out of the picture now. He's given up.
Okay.
And so, one of the problems, people like the Rockefellers don't seem to care that you criticize them. You can blame them all you want. I don't know what the problem, they don't care.
Yep.
Maybe they feel either we're wasting our time, and they're so immune to it. But the Israelis are really protective. They will come after you like you can't believe.
Now, are you suggesting the Israelis play the part in 9/11?
Oh yeah, I think they're in it too. There's a lot of people that are in it. I don't think it's just the Bush family and the Al Gore and.
Oh, I absolutely agree. It's not.
And see, there's a lot of people involved. Even somehow, people like Queen Elizabeth have some role in it. They may not. I doubt if she's a management level, but you can see after 9/11, she was giving awards to Mayor Giuliani, the police chief, and the fire commissioner of America.
Right.
Now, what is that all about? Why would she reward them for helping out with the 9/11 attack? You see, somehow she's in it, but I can't believe that they're actually inviting her to the meetings where they plan it. So her role is probably lower level. Maybe she helps with financing, or maybe she helps with influencing government officials. But there's a lot of people involved, and the only people that are really protective are the Israelis. They're the only ones that will protect them and defend themselves. The others, we can attack all we want. They don't seem to care.
Well, you've planted a seed in my mind, because I told you that I've been on the telephone once or twice today and email exchanges four or five times with a lady in Geneva, Switzerland, and she happens to be an Israeli Jew. So,
oh
yeah, no, I'll just get her. I'll tell you, I've got a comfort level with her, and she's also in the media in Switzerland, and she's very good about communicating. And she and I can pick up the phone and trust each other 100%. And I will just ask her, via email. I'm curious now. I'll put it in a format which will make it easier for her to understand. I'll say, if there are people out there in the global citizenry that think that Israel may or may not have had a part in 9/11, what things have you heard from your vantage point?
Well, the better question is, they had a role. It's a question of what was it? Because, like, remember that story of the five dancing Israelis that were arrested and sent back to Israel? Do you remember that one?
No, I'm sorry, I don't.
Oh, well, on the morning of September 11th, you can actually see some of this, and even the video clip at IamTheWitness.com. People can find it that way, but what happened, there were five young men. They were described as, when the first news reporter came out, they were dancing around, sort of like dancing and celebrating and clapping their hands or whatever,
yep.
And filming the attack on the September 11th, on the morning of September 11th, and some woman looked out her window and saw them down there, like basically celebrating as the planes were hitting and filming it. And so she calls the police and said, there's these five Middle Eastern men down there. She didn't know who they were. She just kind of described them that way because they sort of looked Middle Eastern. And later, hours later, she described they had a white van and just five of them. And hours later, the police saw this white van coming into Manhattan and stopped it. And sure enough, it's them. They have Arab clothing in the car and box cutters, and their van is checking for traces of explosives. And anyway, they get arrested, put in jail. Sometime later, I forget how many weeks later, somebody just tells them, get them out, send them back to Israel. So they go back to Israel. Three of them went on an Israeli talk show. You can see the video. They're asking, basically, what are you doing there, filming? And he says, they were there to document the event. Now,
okay.
This tells you they knew it was coming. Now, it doesn't tell you what their role was. It tells you they knew it was there. They were there. Someone sent a camera crew to film it. And
are you aware that there was a French camera crew there, too?
That's right. That's right. You see, they were there, and if you look at that one, you'll see all the evidence suggests they were sent there on deliberately to film it. This was not a coincidence.
Oh, no, I understand. In fact, once again, I'm looking at this Air Force document dated 1 and 2 June of 2001. So if anybody with a brain happened to see this on 1 and 2 June and could connect the dots, they could extrapolate forward and conclude that maybe there's a risk of Osama bin Laden or Middle East terrorists attacking New York and Washington, because that's exactly what this scenario was.
Yeah, but don't you see, there's a whole lot of people involved. French, the Queen Elizabeth, the Canadians. And we can discuss all of this, except the Israelis are the only ones who defend themselves. The French don't seem to care.
Yeah.
The Canadians, you can insult them as pedophiles. You can call the French government pedophiles, they don't care.
Yeah.
The only group that's real protective are the Israelis. Okay. They don't want to tarnish their image, is what it amounts to. They don't want anyone to look with any suspicion towards them. And the French, the other thing about the French filmmakers that's really interesting is, it looks like they were there to document it, just like the Israelis, but they did not, nobody told them that they were going to blow those towers up, and they foolishly went into those towers, and both of them almost died.
Oh, okay.
And so what it's a sign of is, here's how they get people to do the attack. Everybody involved only gets a little piece of the puzzle here. The people whoever planned it didn't tell all the lower level people exactly what was going to happen. They told the French people, there'd be an airplane crash in the tower, go film it for us. They didn't tell them, yeah, and by the way, we're going to blow the towers up, so stay away.
Yep.
And so you see, each person, a lot of the people involved, like at the military, at the Pentagon, how many of those people knew exactly what was going to happen? I'll bet you they didn't realize what they were doing until after it happened. And then they were thinking, so that's what it was.
Yeah. Well, you have to remember that on 9/11 there were several military exercises running.
Right. And that was that confused them. And the people who sent up the exercise planes that may have crashed into the towers, I doubt if they knew what they were doing.
Well, I doubt it too. But that brings us back to a company in Quebec, I think, called Lansdowne Technologies. And they provided to the United States Air Force and commercial airlines a final approach sector technology, or final approach profile technology and software that allows, a final approach, by the way, in layman's terms, is typically the last 6 miles of an airliner's approach to a runway, a specific runway to a specific airport. And that final approach is significant because there's not a whole lot of margin for error. The closer you get to the airport, the more important it is that you're on the center line of the runway and you're going to touch down within the first 1,500 feet, let's say. So the precision gets exponentially more significant the closer you get. So this Lansdowne Corporation, which I believe provided final approach software not only to civilians but the military, they may well be involved in this, the flying objects, and I say flying objects because they were not airliners, that hit Towers 1, 2, and the Pentagon.
Right, and they probably didn't know quite what they were doing. But you see, what Agent Ladybug brings up that's even in a way scarier is, you know, like you were talking about that hitman that she knows.
Yep.
You know, these people, the way she talks, he doesn't really understand what he's even doing these murders for.
Yeah.
They're basically just saying to him, here's a person, here's $1,000 or whatever, go kill him.
Yeah.
How many people are there working for this gang that are like that, where they are actually being used and they don't even realize it? They think they're doing, because they probably are being told whatever they want to hear. If they want to hear that they're killing criminals, then that's what they'll be told.
Right.
And you see, how many of them are working for this gang and they're killing people thinking that they're doing some good, and in reality, they're just making the situation worse.
Yes.
And even useful. Hurting themselves.
They're useful idiots.
Yeah, and how many of them are there? How many are in the military like that? How many are in our police department? Christopher Bolin was arrested by the American police. I don't know. Are you familiar with Christopher Bolin?
You know, I just saw that today in an email.
He was. You got to think about this. He was arrested, and guess what the charge was? Resisting arrest.
Oh, that's interesting.
And then they wanted to apply. It's considered a misdemeanor, but then they wanted to put a special prosecutor on it. And the lawyer was saying, wait a minute, a special prosecutor for a misdemeanor? He's never heard of such a thing.
Yeah.
And then they destroyed the video camera tapes on the police car. You know, they have video cameras now.
Right.
Okay, they destroyed them.
Okay.
What kind of a situation is this? This is a sign that the police in America are just like that hitman that Agent Ladybug knows. They don't know what's going on. They're just being told, here's a bad guy. His name is Christopher Bolin. Here's his address. Go get him.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like layers of redundancy in reverse. In other words, they're given 70% of the details, enough details to complete the objective, but they're not given the critical details. Like, by the way, the person you're going to go pick up is an innocent, but we want him killed anyway.
Yeah, because he's trying to expose crime is what it really amounts to. They're getting rid of their competitors and people that stand up to them, and it's allowing this unbelievable organized crime gang to flourish.
Right. And the organized crime, I believe, and I'm not an expert on that. In fact, I'm not an expert on much of anything except perhaps the QRS-11 and how it pertains to the events of 9/11. But I believe that in the last 30 years, the axis of the crime, the mob, the mafia, whatever you want to call it, I believe it's moved. And I think it's moved out of New York City and now straddles Chicago to Montreal. Is that fairly accurate?
Yeah, but it's really honed in on Toronto. Toronto's the group, because they took down the Rizzuto clan.
Okay.
And the Camiso gang is, I think, on top of the Rizzutos because of, I think David Hawkins got into it. They're able to get into these corporations, and they were trying to buy out the AT&T group. So if you Google search AT&T and the Camisa group,
okay,
you can get into where their link is in the 9/11. They were totally in it, including that Kadar kid that's in Guantanamo Bay. There was a plot, there was a plan, and they're all in on it. But there was more than that. There was also corporations here that were instrumental in bringing 2 million Stinger missiles that were part of the takedown of America. People don't understand. And Eric brought up that very important situation as well. I went to the 9/11 public inquiry here in Toronto. I actually saw police taking down the posters.
Okay.
So the public was not involved because they didn't even know it was happening. There was no mainstream media covering it.
Okay.
Not mentioning that it was going to be held in the convocation hall. Very little media got involved. Nothing on the radio, nothing on the TV, nothing in the newspaper. And the posters were put wide across Toronto, various spots, even in the subways. But who was tearing them off? The police.
Okay.
So there's collusion on the highest level, and I said in my email to you that we have a mole, and that is Fantino. Julian Fantino has been put into a spot now as an OPP commissioner. He was the Toronto chief of police, but prior to that, he was chosen as the chief of police worldwide as the highest person. He is the mole. He is the one that's been bringing organized crime into its fruition. It's been going long-standing, these murders, unsolved, but not only that, money laundering, racketeering, and on.
Right.
So now they took down just a few days ago Hell's Angels, and here's Fantino trying to pat himself on the back. These are just the lower-ranking individuals. Clyde has not been taken out yet. And like I said, it's serious. I'm going to name his name because I've actually named his name right on radio, his full name, because he is a danger to the public.
Right.
He kills 2 a month, if not more, and orchestrates other people. If he can't do it himself, he subcontracts the hits. And they've been going on, and whoever they want to take out, whether it's somebody in a high position, they're able to do so because they find some jerk that will take off some prominent person, either as an accident or whatever. And I want to get into that with Field so he knows the extent of the danger of it. But this is a problem. If Field and David Hawkins want the information out, they can actually stop the internet. The only way to get it out is we've got to now hone in within a month, like you said. The timing is a very, very important issue right here, is we got to get it out on the internet as much as possible and tell friends to tell their friends. Word of mouth.
Right.
That's what I see.
We're trying real hard, and I don't know the technology, but there's a technology where you can search the web for counterintelligence websites, and it'll list them by size and membership. And I just saw that list today because David sent it to me, and if I can find it, I'll forward it on to Agent Ladybug, and you can share it with Eric. But Hawks Cafe is number 8 today, and about a month and a half ago, I think it was number 40. The growth in interest in Hawks Cafe is beyond exponential. But when I say it's number 8, some of those sites ahead of it, numbers 1 through 7, are foreign sites. I think there's only 2 U.S. sites that are now more popular than Hawk's Cafe, but Hawk's Cafe appears to be attracting a whole lot of motivated and informed, serious people that would like to make a difference. And, you know, neither David nor myself are going anywhere, and we're not going to respond to any fear. And we're going to try to encourage more and more people to contact us and put up more and more credible stories about these dangers to civilization, including your friend Mr. Forsyth, and including the perpetrators of 9/11. And I would encourage your listeners, now that they've been fire hosed with information for 2 hours, just to take a mental break and go to their Google search bar and put in one word, Arkanside, Arkanside. And have either of you interviewers ever Googled Arkanside?
I have.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot with Bill Clinton. He's untouchable, though, apparently.
So, do you know what his real last name is?
What?
I believe it's Rockefeller.
That's right. He's a bastard son of J.D. Rockefeller or something like that.
Yeah, and I think that that goes a long way to explaining his appearance of being bulletproof.
Yeah, I've heard that rumor. I know. See, this is the other thing. When you look at these groups in control, they seem to promote one of their own.
Right.
A lot. They even say the same about Hitler. There's even rumors that he was one of the Rothschild family.
You know, I've heard that too, and I've just heard that. That's all.
I know. There's no proof for any of these things, but I mean, it would fit the pattern. And who knows what Tony Blair may be similar to Al Gore? Who knows?
Yeah, it's sort of sickening. The civilized countries as well as the uncivilized countries, we need to get leadership that reflects the values of the citizens.
Well, you know what it's like? What it reminds me of is it's still the Middle Ages. We still have the kings and queens, but we don't necessarily see them anymore. Like the Rothschilds are sort of hidden.
Yeah,
but they're
right.
Still there. It's still a family passing on. Basically, us from
right.
Father to son, and now they spawn new monarchies like the Rothschilds. They supposedly funded the Rockefellers, and then they spawn some more, perhaps. And then you got the Bronfmans, the Oppenheimers, and it just all of them are like kings and queens passing things on from father to son, and they work somehow with the lower level criminals, you know, the stupider ones that couldn't never do this on their own.
Yeah.
They use them as their assassins. And they're helping the crime flourish. And it's like the Middle Ages, where they had the knights, and what they're doing is they're hiring people like Clyde to be their knights, and they're taking over our police departments. We've got the ADL training the American police, for example. And so think of how easy it would be for someone to say, oh, that guy, he's an anti-Semite, go arrest him.
Right.
And so there, it's the same thing as the Middle Ages. And we haven't gotten past this yet. We haven't gotten to the point where we've actually got some real leaders yet. It's still rich families passing things on from father to son and tricking the rest of the population into fighting their wars and killing one another and helping to keep them in power.
And you forgot to mention the part about while the rich families make killing on the military-industrial complex.
Yeah, they're using the military as a... as their tool too. And then of course the Rothschilds also funded Zionism, so now that's in the mix too. You got that group trying to create Israel. It just gets such overwhelmingly complex trying to figure out what's going on. But what we can certainly see is it's a terrible mess. This world is a mess, and we've got to get enough people to decide we've had enough of this.
Yeah.
It's time for the human race to advance and start using technology for something beneficial.
Yeah, I'd like to see if the United States starts bringing back its troops and sending out more missionaries, because I think Douglas MacArthur, you know, once said when asked what he needed to stabilize Japan, I believe that was where he was at, he said, well, what we need is about 100,000 missionaries with Bibles. And of course, his future in the military didn't go a whole lot further than that comment. But, you know, if he would have asked for... 5,000 troop ships and 50,000 cannons, he would have been a more popular general. But he was apparently quite a leader, and his leadership got curtailed due to his philosophy.
Well, I know, but the trouble of trying to spread religion is that's a problem too, especially between nations, because that'll lead you to endless fights too.
Oh, no, you're absolutely right. I wasn't... I was quoting quoting MacArthur.
And, yeah, I know what you mean.
And we know where MacArthur's career went. I mean, he was like a rocket ship going up, and then he hit a false ceiling, and he was done.
Yeah. Well, something's going to have to change because the world can't go like this. America is losing its manufacturing. It can't continue like this much longer. I mean, there's going to be a point at which the military is over there without supplies. You know, they're destroying. They're right now destroying their cars, their helicopters, their airplanes. We're losing manufacturing, so they're not going to be able to replace them as fast. We're losing engineering, so the technology in America is not even advancing as fast anymore.
Right.
And the government is swelling. If you look at the latest news reports, here's how the media lies to people. The news report right now is America's economy is doing great because there's a lot of new jobs. Look at what the jobs are: government, education, some retail stores, and healthcare. What that does is raise taxes, tuition, healthcare, and prices of other things. Meanwhile, manufacturing jobs decreased. There's fewer engineers, fewer carpenters, fewer technicians, fewer mechanics. The country cannot exist when everybody is in the government playing around with pieces of paper and making telephone calls.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
And so what we're facing is America is on the decline, and what I see happening is when America starts to really crumble, that's when we might start finding enough people to decide to do something. And if nothing else, it's really going to affect this organized crime gang, because think about it. Without America to stand over Europe, Europe is free to start thinking for themselves, and they're already rebelling to some extent. You can see in England the other day, did you see that news report that some of the English teachers in their schools don't want to talk about teach the Holocaust anymore?
Okay.
Because think about it. They're starting to realize, you know, there's lies all over World War I and World War II, and they don't want to teach any of these official lies any longer. They don't know, nobody knows the exact truth yet, but they can see there's something wrong here.
Well, there's much wrong in America, and unfortunately, I've seen a lot of it in my brief life of 57 years, but the schools that I went to in the 50s and 60s wouldn't be allowed to operate today, and you know, we have the media teaching our children, not the parents and not the teachers. And the teachers, I mean, they stand in front of the classroom, but they can't teach their heart and they can't teach the truth. They have to teach the Kool-Aid. And if they don't, if teachers try to get outside the lesson guide, so to speak, they'll find themselves not having tenure, a job, and an income.
Well, schools are becoming like daycare centers where they just occupy time. And they give people degrees and to make them feel good. You don't really learn anything. They're graduating even from college and not really being able to function in life yet.
Right.
It's just a lot of wasted time. That history courses are full of lies. And so I don't see how a country can keep going like this. And if nothing else, the other problem I mentioned on another show with Agent Ladybug is that, you know, the other problem you have is all the wealthy nations, once they become wealthy, can't turn away those offers from poor people of other nations to do the work cheaper. So what happens is in all the wealthy nations is what you see right now in America, where people are pouring in by the millions from Mexico, South America, Indonesia, and other places to work for us cheaply.
Right.
And you can't continue this because there's going to be a point at which these low-cost workers dominate.
Right.
And that changes the country. The country won't be the same anymore. This already happened with South Africa.
Right.
It's happening in Europe. You see, it's the selfishness of the people that's going to end up destroying this place.
Right.
They're sitting in front of a TV set, ignoring all the corruption is going to hurt, and their selfishness of trying to find find other people to do their work for them while they just lounge around at their offices, at their government offices. That's going to hurt.
Right.
And so I see there's some big changes coming up no matter what anyone does. No matter who they silence, there are some big changes coming up for the world in America.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to those changes, and I hope there are some favorable changes.
Well, that requires we get the information out so that we don't just recreate the mess we've already got. We got to get people to know what is going on and what is wrong so that when things really start falling apart, they don't just recreate the same mess.
Right.
We gotta know what's wrong right now, and you know, get the information out, get people talking about it as soon as possible,
and get the money system in
yes,
place. JFK, why he was shot? That's highly important. So this is why I find that it's untimely now. It must have been a godsend that David Hawkins and Captain Field McConnell got together at this time, and then the Scholars for the Truth. It's got to come out, and all of a sudden, I see that, you know, you did this DVD. This is what has to get out. Explain again to the listeners how and when this DVD will be out that they can look at.
Well, if they go to the website, www.captain, C-A-P-T-A-I-N, Sherlock, S-H-E-R-L-O-C-K, CaptainSherlock.com, that's a website that's sort of under construction, but you can navigate your way around there, and you can see a super DVD, as yet untitled, regarding 9/11, and you can see that the estimated date that was put up there, unless this website has been changed today, I'm not the one who's the webmaster, but I'm the one who people think is Captain Sherlock, and that's also not right. Captain Sherlock is a cyber character who actually is part of all the 736 or 750, however many members of Hawk's Cafe we have, and the Captain Sherlock came about because I'm often introduced as a captain, and I have been a captain. I was a captain in the airlines I was a pilot for 28 years, and for the last 24 of them, I'd been a captain. I'd also been a captain in the Air National Guard, a captain in the Marine Corps, and a captain in the Air Force Reserve. So captain is just sort of a generic title that happens to apply to me somehow, and Sherlock really gives credit to David Hawkins's discipline when it comes to connecting dots, doing research, and forming opinions on the motives, the weapons, and the perpetrators of financial crimes. And that's my choice of word, a financial crime, hence the name forensic economist. A crime is something, in my mind, that these people perpetrate on purpose. They can call it an incident. They can call it an accident. I can call it a crime. But 9/11 was at least two missions there. One was geopolitical power. They wanted to go to the New World Order, I believe, by decapitating America. And number two is they wanted to transfer a great deal of wealth to the already $300 trillion wealthy elitist. And if people want to find that DVD, they're going to find it at www.captainsherlock.com. And I anticipate that it'll be in a downloadable format within the next 10 days to 2 weeks. We were shooting for the 1st of April, but the graphic artist, the cameraman, the creative genius is not a perfectionist, but he's awful darn close, and he wants to make sure this is as attractive and accurate as possible. And David and I share in that, and we look forward to seeing this downloadable sell like hotcakes when it's at the website. We also are going to be delivering DVDs, not via downloadable, but the kind where we put it in the mail and mail it to you. And this is, even though it will generate income, that's not our goal. Our goal is to distribute truth. However, people tend not to value what they don't have to give something in exchange for. However, I'll just point out that the things we've done so far don't have trademarks on them. So if somebody has something we've done and they want to copy it, feel free. Go ahead.
Okay, so this is great. This will be out shortly, within 2 weeks, longest maybe 3-4 weeks, right?
I certainly can't imagine it going beyond 2 weeks, and I think it'll be faster. But we've learned that by setting fairly accurate but optimistic deadlines, it makes us look less credible when those deadlines don't get made. However, just as an olive branch of hope, there's a teaser that's about a minute and a half that's up there already, so you can judge from that short little teaser, you can judge the quality of the camera work and the lack of quality of the person doing the speaking, because that's me. And I just want to be honest with you and your listeners that we shot about 9 hours of film, and never once was there anything talked about before the camera was turned on. In other words, conversations would just start and go where they wanted to go without reference to a script, which is good, because scripted things, for instance, Agent Ladybug could have sent me a script for this interview today, and that would keep me from telling people what I believe to be the truth. If what I believe to be the truth was in conflict with the script and I was obligated to speak the script, that wouldn't be worth a whole lot. But this DVD product that's going to be downloadable first and then deliverable second, it's unscripted by anything other than our honest assessment of history. What the history surrounding 9/11 dating back to 1993 when a certain administration was put in place in the U.S. And then the vast majority of our information starts around 1st of June of 2001 when the military dress rehearsal for the joint Canadian and American attack on America was practiced at Tyndall Air Force Base. And I will, once we're done with this interview, I will email you the link I'm looking at right now, and you guys can review this 35-page document. I haven't put you to sleep, both of you, have I?
Oh, no, I thought...
I thought
we were just listening.
I thought there was a pause. I thought it was the lady saying, you have 1 minute more.
Yep.
I heard a pause, and I didn't know what happened. Go ahead.
What else? The only other thing I was going to ask you is, you know, you mentioned about Flight 93.
Yep.
Did you see those? You were saying it, you think it crashed somewhere by Pennsylvania?
Well, I think it was destroyed intentionally near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, when it was too late to accomplish its goal. Now, keep in mind that United 93 was not going to strike the Capitol anyway. It's my assertion and my belief and my knowledge that a droned aircraft that would look like United 93, if anything was going to fly into the Capitol, it would have been a droned flying object.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, of course, it's not a real important matter, but, yeah, because it was, I just wanted to mention there's the strangest news reports out of Cleveland that said Flight 93 landed because of a bomb threat and the people were taken over to the empty, you know, the airport was evacuated and then the people, so, there's this news report that says they were all taken over to the empty NASA building to talk to the FBI. So we got a real conflict here.
Let me try to resolve that conflict for you. Based on your knowledge level today, which is the 7th of April of 07 for release tomorrow, I believe. Are you aware of anybody claiming to have seen any humans get off that airplane?
Well, no, there's no reports of that, and there's no reports of any people at the crash site either. This is what I mean. The news reports, none of them make sense no matter how you look at it.
Well, I've seen that. It's sort of funny, but there's a Cleveland TV channel, I believe it was, that reported that Flight 93 landed
right
at a given time that I think was around 11 in the morning. I don't recall.
Right.
But my recollection of the reports that were briefly out there about this Flight 93 landing led me to believe the airplane landed, cleared the runway, stopped briefly, and then went over to a Delta. This is my memory. This is not bulletproof, but my memory is it taxied over to a Delta hangar, and then the airplane was brought into the hangar. In other words, if any people got off that flying object, they would have been out of the public view.
Right. The other report said they were taken over by the NASA building. But see, the airport, it says the airport was evacuated. So even that the NASA building had been evacuated, so there was nobody around. I'm just bringing it up to point out that if you look at the news reports on 9/11, you'll find they don't make sense. There's something seriously wrong.
Right.
And you can't figure it out, but you can tell that not only do they not make sense, but nobody cares.
Well, I care, and you
no,
care.
No, I mean, like, the media doesn't care. The FBI doesn't care. You can't find anyone who points out, like, of the 19 hijackers, there are reports they're alive. A lot of them are alive.
Let me address that thing about the FBI doesn't care, okay? The FBI is just like a lot of other bureaucracies, including the IRS, the FAA, and the Department of Justice. And Hawks Cafe has concluded that people in high positions at those bureaucracies are mind-boxed or extorted or entrapped into a continuation of their corrupt behaviors, knowing that if they don't continue to play along and drink the Kool-Aid, that they could suffer an untimely death, such as Ron Brown, the former Secretary of Commerce.
Oh, right. You're saying they actually are going along with the crime. I agree.
Well, they're being forced to. They're not willing to.
Well, some of them may be willing. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, there may be a few people within there that are voluntary.
Right.
But I know what you mean. The others, there's probably a lot of them that are afraid.
Oh, they're absolutely afraid because they've been taught over and over again, if you don't go along with the party line, we'll blow you up.
Yeah, and what's so strange, though, is all they have to do is say, we're sick of this. They outnumber the people that are doing the controlling.
Right.
It's the same with the New York City Police Department. They have the equipment, the organization, and everything. Just start arresting some of these people. Larry Silverstein, they can bring him down for questioning and ask him, well, you know, what's going on with this Building 7 and the towers? They won't do that.
Right.
And the FBI was confiscating information at the Pentagon immediately after the attack. They're picking up videotapes. And you see, some of the people were they may not have known what they were doing, but they were down there confiscating evidence. They may not have understood why,
yep.
But somebody's there. And then you look at who used to, our FBI did this before. They did it with Oklahoma City. They did it with the Bali bombing in Indonesia. They were down in Bali, Indonesia, after
right.
that gigantic blast. And even the Indonesian newspapers were saying, what's the FBI taking our evidence for?
Right.
And see, someone in this FBI is working with them, whether it's on, because they want to or because they're being forced. No one knows, but our federal agencies are working with them.
Right.
And then you look at our Homeland Security, it's the same thing. And you got Michael Chertoff in control. Who is this guy? You know, his mother was a Mossad agent. Who is he working for?
Right.
And then you got $2.4 trillion missing from the Pentagon budget, and you got this Rabbi Dove Zakheim can't figure out where it went. Rumsfeld's making jokes about it.
Right. Yeah, it's really discouraging, but I'm an encourager, not a discourager, and I assert there's more good people out there than bad people, and I think because of the mysterious nature of the cyber world, where people like David Hawkins and I can solicit input from thousands of people, and even though there's nothing safe on the internet or the telephone, the agents that are monitoring people like David Hawkins, myself, you, and Agent Ladybug, you know, there's only so many of them. Unfortunately, there's quite a lot of them, and going back to Gatineau, Quebec, there's a corporation up there named Témoigné, and I believe in their own literature, they claim to have 1 million field operators or agents worldwide monitoring information. If I misspeak in that, I apologize to Témoigné. If I speak correctly, I think law enforcement ought to go shut down Témoigné.
No, but you're right. But you see, the thing people should realize now is it's too late for them, and it doesn't matter if they get rid of the entire North American continent. There are still, look around the world. They're talking about it all over Europe. It's spreading into other countries. It doesn't even matter. They can't stop it any longer. People should stop being afraid. They can't stop it, no matter how many of us they get rid of.
Yeah, and I'm just, you know, I'm a voice in the wilderness, but I'm not afraid of them, and I would encourage other people that believe that they're patriotic either to their home country of Canada or the U.S. or wherever they live, you know, demand that your public servants start delivering. And we got to get these, I don't want to pick a group like international bankers and say they're the only problem. They're certainly not. But they seem to be a common thread in the big problem. And another common thread, just to bring it back into the U.S., is Rose Law Firm in Little Rock, Arkansas. And when I was telling you that my focus or my expertise is on this QRS-11 gyro chip, I didn't mention that the Rose Law Firm, the man who was the director there, Joe Gerroir, and that's spelled G-E-R-O-I-R, he sits at the top of the, or he sat at the top of Rose Law and BEI, and BEI is the corporation that brought us the QRS-11 gyro chip. So there's certain threads in this tapestry that run through the same pattern over and over and over, and global banking is one, Rose Law Firm's another, and I'm all ears if somebody wants to tell me number three and number four.
Well, there's a whole bunch. I mean, even if you look at Japan, they've got a big organized crime gang, too.
Right.
And the strangest thing is the South Tower was hit at the Fuji Bank, and hardly any of the... If you go to the I Am the Witness, you'll see Bolin wrote about this. It hit Fuji Bank, and almost none of the Fuji Bank officials came into work that day.
Well, that's like the Murrah building. When the Murrah building was destroyed or damaged, certain bureaucracies weren't there. And I can't name them off the top of my head.
Oh, I know what you mean. There was federal agencies like the ATF wasn't there and some of the others. But see, this is a sign that these are all setups.
Oh, absolutely.
And a lot of people know it. And it's worldwide, like in the case of the World Trade Center. This is Japan.
Right.
And if you look at Japan and if you look at the Fuji Bank had already been victims of this organized crime gang. I forgot the name of it. They have a name for this gang.
Yeah, I know who you're talking
about.
But
you see, now what if the other people involved in 9/11 are working with that gang, too? You look
right.
at the kid, Agent Ladybug brought up JFK. Look at that killing. You'll find Meyer Lansky working with the Italian gangs. Meyer Lansky is working with the Zionists, and they're working with the Italian gangs, they're working with other people within America. I mean, you've got a big collection of people. They're different gangs, different nations, and they're actually working together.
And I think that's why they call it global elitism.
Yeah, but within the group, see, what I think the problem this group has is when you get this big of a group worldwide and you've got different groups of criminals, you've got real problems within the group of people trying to get control of it and fight with each other.
Right.
And I think this is, if you look at every business, every sports group, every orchestra, any organization, their biggest enemy is not people like me or you. It's the internal members. It's the people within it. They can do more damage by their fighting and their cheating and their double-crossing than anybody on the outside can do to them. And I think that may be working in our favor as these people fight to not be blamed for any of this.
That brings us around to the U.S. mainline media. I picked up some stuff here in the last couple of days that indicates the media is very concerned now that they're going to be blamed for misrepresenting. Hang on, I got another phone call coming, but I'll just do this real time. In fact, could you guys just talk amongst yourselves for a split second? I'll be right back.
Yeah, what he was saying is the media is worrying about being blamed. And see, this is another point. They have been lying.
They're lying.
And they should be blamed.
Exactly.
Look at them.
As long as you hear every single journalist running and perpetuating the lie of 9/11.
And it's not just 9/11, it's JFK. Look at the Canadian government. How much do they protect the Canadian government, all the things that are going on in Canada? It's not just in America that they're lying. It's the Canadian media, the European media, the Australian media.
Exactly, all of them.
And they should be blamed because nobody is twisting their arm. There may be some low-level reporters that are doing this out of fear, but you can't say that the people at the top of this network, of these giant corporations,
interesting, when I emailed a friend of mine in one of these nationwide newspapers regarding the organized crime, he took off his phone. All of a sudden, I can't even email him. So this is now one of the companies that is on David's list of the plaintiffs suing these defendants. This is one of the defendants that will be named.
Oh, he didn't name them yet, though?
I don't know. The information that David Hawkins sent me amongst the corporations other than that Al Gore and those other people that they named, this corporation is one of them. So they own the media. As long as the media and the journalists keep spinning the lies, we've got a major problem. So people have to wake up, got to shut off their CNN, shut off all the hype about all this sports games and on. All of these are diversions. People don't understand. This is a diversion that they've used to take the onus off the real crux as we've been had. We're going to go into a slave race and lose all, sense of our own worth. People don't understand that at some point in time, they're going to take away everything from us.
Well, it's like
to my grandparents in Europe, where they just came knocking on your door with a rifle butt there and saying, get your ass onto this train and their ship to Siberia overnight. People don't think it's going to happen again. Well, it happened to me right at Yonge and Eglinton here in the city of Toronto, where corrupt officers were part and parcel, and I'll say it again, Fantino, and having everything that I ever worked for decimated because inside my apartment there was hard evidence against this organized crime group. They didn't want this to surface because they would have been on the hot seat. Who are the perpetrators in Toronto and all of Canada and the United States that are part of this organized crime groups, as we got into? And this is what they don't want to surface. This is why they're curtailing all of these groups that are trying to meet when they had the private or the public 9/11 inquiry. Posters were even being taken off the wall. This is a democracy.
Well, that's the beauty of the internet.
That's right.
You know, we can get the truth out that way. We just need to get it out faster and broader.
That's right. Well, we're going to continue this dialogue. I don't know if you want to go another 1 or 2 hours in another day. This was the most intriguing and most mind-blowing information that I'm getting from David Hawkins and yourself, Captain Field McConnell. I've been blown away in the few hours that I've spent, speaking to the both of you. There's more wealth of information coming out of the two of you than I've had in all the hours that I've spent on the internet. And I think you're honed into these corporations that are part of this giant world organized crime groups that have perpetrated this 9/11 and all of this fiasco that's gone on for centuries. So we're going to have you on again. I thank you for being this special guest.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
So we'll get into, is this for you something you could do another 2 hours in another week or two?
Whatever you need.
When your video comes out, because I want to promote that.
Oh, I think if you promote the video, it will in turn promote Spyman CA. I mean, it's a two-way street.
That's right.
And it's not about money, I assure you. In fact, David Hawkins has a mind that could earn him, you know, tens of millions productively, and yet, he's sitting here working basically as a volunteer. Now, I'm a little bit less noble a volunteer because I have a fairly good retirement. In fact, I have several retirements. However, I elect to try to champion the cause of QRS 11 and 9/11 because I know that human lives are at risk, and I'm not talking about U.S. or Canadian. The last airplane that was vaporized was Atom Air 574 in Indonesia.
Yes.
And if somebody hurts some little person anywhere in the world, David Hawkins and I would love to hear about it and research it and try to connect the dots.
Very good. So we'll have you on, the two of you again, within the next few weeks to go over about your video.
Okay.
That'll be available. So I thank you very kindly that you were so gracious to come and do this interview, because this is a mind game that I see on the world level here of the bankers that have perpetuated the slave trade, and we've got to put a stop to it, and we've got to waken up, and you have been one of the people that have awakened us all. Thank you again.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Eric, also for participating.
Sure, I'll talk to you guys later.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.